Prepare to be entertained.
Unbelievable! Oh, what a body shot that scores the knockdown! When he decides to go, does he ever? One punch, that's it!
It is fight night tonight on ESPN. Andrew Maloney's brother Jason in the bantamweight main event taking on Leonardo Baez. Maloney's won his last three fights by knockout. Baez is on a six-fight win streak. Our coverage of the prelims begins at 8 Eastern right here on ESPN, the ESPN app, and ESPN Deportes. And with that, we approach the bottom of the hour here, almost 29 minutes past the hour of 9 a.m. in the East time. Mike Greenberg, we're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. This is Get Up on ESPN. We'll be with you for another hour, and then First Take will come your way in its entirety starting at 10:30 Eastern, a full two-hour edition there with Stephen A. and company. Meanwhile, we have news from the NBA. Lakers guard Avery Bradley has opted out of playing in the NBA's Orlando bubble. That came on Tuesday, as you'll recall. He cited health concerns for his family and his fight for social justice as the reasons for the decision. Woj reported that J.R. Smith is a leading candidate to replace Bradley on the Lakers roster, and the Lakers will certainly miss Bradley's perimeter defense. According to Second Spectrum, Bradley leads the NBA in three-point field goal percentage allowed as the closest defender among 210 players to defend 150 of those this year. He is slightly ahead of Kawhi Leonard. Well, with the NBA now officially ready to make its return and LeBron James officially into play, it is a good time to point out that no player has more at stake in all of this than he does. Since last we saw LeBron on a basketball court, we have all spent 10 hours of our lives being reminded of the ghost that he has spent his entire career chasing. This spring in sports belonged to Michael Jordan. LeBron gets the summer to respond, and he does it at 35. That's the age at which Michael won his final championship. So make no mistake, the clock is ticking. LeBron has already played one more season than MJ and more minutes than any player in history besides Kareem and Karl Malone. And it's not just LeBron who is old. The Lakers are the oldest team in the NBA. They hadn't made the playoffs since 2013. They hadn't won the West since 2010, the last time they won the title. And while he's widely expected to stay, Anthony Davis is an unrestricted free agent after this season. So the time to win is now. And here's what's at stake. LeBron could become the third player to win titles on three different teams. John Sally and Robert Horry are the others. He'd be the only one ever to win MVP of the finals for three. It would be the 17th championship for the Lakers. That would pull them even with their arch-rival Celtics for the most all-time. LeBron is averaging 26 points and a league-high 10.5 assists. He's played 60 out of 63 games, 35 minutes a night, and he's been right in the center of the MVP discussion all year long. By the way, Karl Malone is the oldest player to win that award. I'll give you one guess. That's right. He was 35. So the bottom line is this. LeBron James is a global icon. He's an incredibly important voice in our culture. Nothing that happens from here on out is going to change that. But he's also a basketball player. And if that part of him is of concern to you, I would simply say these next 3 months could be as defining a stretch as he has had in his entire career. That's a little bit of what I think. Let's see if I get any agreement or disagreement. Jackie Mack is back. Jay Will is here. And Jalen Rose joins us this morning for the first time. So, Jalen, I'll give you the first word. What do you think?
I like where you were going with that, Greeny, except the headline didn't represent the fine print. And here's what I mean. During this era, the Golden State Warriors have also won three championships. Kevin Durant, finals MVP twice. And you're right, LeBron does have a chance to win finals MVP on his third team. So does Kawhi Leonard. So, yes, at stake for 35 years old, 17th year without Avery Bradley, I agree with you. The time in the hourglass is ticking. But LeBron James's greatness is cemented. I don't think winning one or two championships, for that matter, would put those like myself who understand the greatness of Michael Jordan and put LeBron in the conversation of passing him just because he won one, if not two, with the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right, I'll bookmark that. Let me hear from Jay Williams. Jay, what do you think?
Jalen Rose, I love you. I don't know how many times we're on ESPN NBA Countdown. We'll be on there, you know, the next couple of days talking about this. But the amount of hate I feel that comes out of your voice every time we talk about LeBron James' greatness to deflect it to somebody else is beyond me, my brother. Beyond me. You're going to tell me, because I've seen you align yourself with LeBron James for more than a vote, for suppressed votes in different economies, right? So you're going to tell me that through the midst of a pandemic, through social protest about systematic racism and the voice that LeBron James has had in the direction of the critical mass of our country that he has stood on, if he's able to win a world championship through going down to a Hot Pocket in Orlando, where it's gone up 380% in the last week of COVID-19 cases, to go into that bubble after losing Avery Bradley, taking J.R. Smith on this team, that you're not going to let this win this championship, if he gets it, take him to a different stratosphere? You can make the case that all these things are, it's insurmountable to a degree. If he's able to accomplish this, this is probably more difficult to accomplish than actually just winning during the regular NBA playoffs. It for sure will take him to a different level. And people may not compare him to Muhammad Ali and others because maybe, you know, he didn't go over and not fight a war or other people. But still, what he's doing right now is monumental for today's athlete. It's way more than being an athlete. It's being exceptional.
LeBron
James, and we need to give him credit for that if he's able to pull this off.
Social justice warrior as an athlete. No question about it. But we're just talking about on the floor, Jay. And Jackie Mack, please get in here and let Jay Williams know why if LeBron James wins a championship this year, it doesn't make him better than Michael Jordan.
Jackie?
Jay, you know I love you, my dear, but I'm with Jaylen on this one. I'm telling you, you can never win. Ask Kobe Bryant, ask a host of others. You can never win chasing Michael Jordan. It just isn't going to work. Six championships, six MVPs, after leaving for baseball and coming back and all that. So let's just talk about the basketball for a minute, Jay. If LeBron wins again, as Jaylen points out, people count rings, and LeBron would have to win three more. And if in this climate, I agree, what LeBron has done is amazing. Here's my point. I don't think this has anything to do with LeBron's legacy, any of it, because I agree that LeBron's legacy is already cemented, but for different reasons than either one of you have discussed. LeBron is the king of player empowerment. And to me, it's the most significant thing that's happened in his career. And it's seismic. What it has done, how it has changed the NBA. LeBron James literally seized control of his career, of his life, and did this for all the other NBA athletes. And no longer could coaches or GMs or owners dictate how players control their NBA careers. LeBron James' player empowerment, to me, is his biggest legacy, and that is already in place. And NBA players should thank him every single day for making that possible for all of them as well.
Let's make sure that...
Jackie,
go ahead, Jay. Go ahead. You go.
I was going to say, Jackie, I'm with you. You didn't hear Michael Jordan ever come out of my voice. Jalen Rose has tried to pivot and make this whole thing about Michael Jordan. That's not where I was going. What you're talking about is the empowerment. And there's a lot of different reasons that can make you define what greatest is. Right? What greatest is an empowerment for the next tier of athlete and what he's doing for people, to combine that with winning championships on the court. If he's able to do this through this pandemic, we have to give value to that. There's a lot of value to that winning under these circumstances if we're actually able to have a finalization of the season.
I'm with that. Right. Let me make clear what I was trying to say to begin with. So everything that has been said here is accurate. And LeBron James, his cultural significance, his global status, what he's done for player empowerment, none of that, in my opinion, is even up for debate. All I want to talk about is his place in the history of the greatest players in the game. And Jalen Rose, you have said to me a million times, when did LeBron pass Magic? How many times have I heard you say that to me? If he wins an MVP of the finals on his third different team, winning a championship with this group at the age of 35, might that not make some difference to you?
I'll have to bow down. And I'm so glad you're here, Jackie Mack, because sometimes just being a historian and have to school Jay Williams, I just need assistance.
No.
I try to tell him there are people that play basketball that accomplish things that LeBron just has not accomplished yet. I'll name a couple. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, and Irvin Magic Johnson. Your thoughts?
Jackie, I'll give you the final
such an old
But
man
here's something
on
else
the porch,
I want to point out.
Rose.
I do want to put this out.
Yeah.
I want to point something out, though. You guys keep harping on the idea that he could win championships with three different teams. I would argue it's a lot harder to stay with one team your entire career and win six of them.
It's a good debate.
LeBron won in Miami, and then he said, you know, the Spurs bludgeoned him in 2014, and then he moved on and went back to Cleveland. So that, to me,
Jackie,
staying with one team and winning six, that's
Jackie?
Big. Yes, my dear.
Can I ask you a question, Jackie?
Yes.
Who was the greatest coach of all time in the NBA, maybe? Who's the greatest coach of all time in NBA?
Red Auerbach, Bill Jackson, Fred Jackson.
RJ Rose. All right, who's your top two greatest coach of all time in the NBA?
Red Auerbach, Bill Jackson, Greg Popovich, Pat Riley.
Thank you. Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson. Are you not going to say Jerry Krause is one of the all-time top GMs? That's all I'm saying is give it to the entire
team
now. I understand MJ's incredible.
It's a good debate.
Team, though.
It's a good debate. And my favorite thing about it is that I disagreed with Jalen, and he told me, you see, that's what I was trying to say. There's nothing I love better than those arguments with Jalen Rose. Guys, thank you all. Coming back with much, much more as we continue. Replacing a legend with a guy who has thrown four career passes could be a disaster. But Neek sees it otherwise, and he'll explain why as we continue. And we'll play a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Graziano. Aside from Tom Brady, who was the last AFC East quarterback to win at least 12 games in a season? Oh, it's a good question, and the answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We are back on Get Up, and Graziano, here we go. Hembo's coming right at you with this one. Aside from Tom Brady, who was the last AFC East quarterback to win at least 12 games in a season?
Hembo's sneaky. He may not know that I remember that the Indianapolis Colts played in the AFC East when Peyton Manning was drafted. So I'm going to say Peyton Manning.
Oh, my goodness. This was Hembo at his sneakiest, and you got it exactly right. That is extremely well played. Peyton Manning won 13 games for the 99 Colts, and I agree with Hembo. You, Graziano, are indeed a savage with loose morals. That's very well played. Let's talk about the AFC East of today. It is now, of course, a Brady-less bunch, and every team has a promising young quarterback that hopes to own the division the way Brady did for the last 20 years.
What a play by Sam Darnold.
Josh Allen fired a strike.
Legend, Tua Tagovailoa.
I believe Stidham's going to be a good starter.
If you add it all up, the future of the AFC East is only 92 years old. That is the combined age of the four quarterbacks upon whom the division's hopes and dreams depend. When Tom Brady got to New England, Jared Stidham and Josh Allen were 4 years old. Sam Darnold was three. Tua Tagovailoa was two. Since then, Chad Pennington is the only other quarterback to win the East. He did it twice. So the question is, which of these young studs will dominate the division next? Let's see in alphabetical order. Allen, the good, led the Bills to the playoffs and led the team in rushing the past 2 years. The bad, he was the least accurate passer in the sport last year. For Darnold, the good, he has started 26 games and just turned 23 years old. He also led the Talent Challenge Jets to a 6-2 record the second half of last season. The bad, he was turnover prone in college, and that has carried over. He's thrown 28 picks in his 26 starts. Stidham, the good, he was a more efficient passer in college than Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, or Jared Goff, who was the first overall pick. The bad, we basically haven't seen him since then. He's thrown only four NFL passes, and one was a pick six. Finally, Tua. The good, he was the most efficient passer and had the best QBR in college football history. The bad, by now you can repeat from memory all the injuries and surgeries that he's had. So the question of the day is this. If there is a Brady in this bunch, which one is it? That's very well done. Hembo and I put those together. Ryan Staloff did a really good job producing that one up. And so, guys, my pick is already made. We already see my Sam Darnold is already on the board. So let's see who's next in the order. Dan Graziano, who's the heir apparent in the AFC East?
I
I would take Darnold, but it's tough for me. I think just because not having seen Tua Tagovailoa play in the NFL yet, and I think we've seen some things from Darnold that we think that he can build on. It's going to be about, can the Jets build the right kind of team around him? But I think in terms of overall ability, we talked a couple minutes ago about, you know, physical traits and Carson Wentz versus Dak Prescott. I think we look ahead and we see Sam Darnold as someone who's capable of attaining great things, assuming the Jets can make it happen around him.
Okay.
Big assumption, I think.
So suffice it to say, you have the right answer. Dominique, which way do you go?
I feel like changing my answers. I told the producers before the show Sam Darnold, so they're going to put up that Sam Darnold picture. But I was sleepy this morning. I'm 6 a.m. meeting. I was a little groggy. And the real answer is Tua Tagovailoa. Like, if I had to take one quarterback to build around from this conference right now, I have much higher expectations for what Tua can become in Miami than what Darnold can become with the Jets. So Morning Fox disagrees with a little later in the morning, Fox. I'm pulling a Dan Orlovsky where I change my position depending on the time of the day.
That's okay. I still want the Darnold thing up there on his thing. I just, because there's going to be a visual here and it's going to live forever. Just put the Darnold back where it belongs. Put the Darnold up for Dominique. Let's just put that in there. That's what belongs there. In there. He can say whatever he wants, but someone will ultimately just see a photo of this and they'll think that it was Darnold and that'll be nice. In the meantime, Hasselbeck, how about you?
Well, listen, I don't know why Morning Fox doesn't think it's okay for Wentz to be hurt, but it's okay for, you know, Tua to be hurt all the time before he ever even enters the league. So Tua's out for that reason for me. I look at the Patriots situation, like, we don't even know if Jared Stidham can play yet, like, at this level. So he's out for me. Look, I look at Josh Allen, and I see a guy that has so much talent. He's on a team surrounded by culture, a great coaching staff there in Buffalo. I just feel like he's a guy that can really get better, and he has the physical tools to do so. And everyone wants to point to the accuracy issues, and I get it. It's fair. But you also have to consider that he's got 17 rushing touchdowns in his first two seasons. It reminds me a little bit of Donovan McNabb, where people wanted to be super critical of his accuracy, but you also have to consider the rushing. It's much harder for a quarterback to be an accurate passer when you're also a runner. You have to consider it. It's like shooting foul shots when you're tired or when you're not. There are certain play callers that won't call pass plays after a quarterback scramble. So you have to understand and kind of give the guy a little bit of leeway in the accuracy because he's such a good runner. And then I would just say this about the Darnold situation with the Jets. Yes, he's really talented. Yes, he can end up being a good pro. But I'm not sure they have it figured out at the coaching situation with the Jets. When you think about Adam Gase hasn't had a good offense since he left Peyton Manning in Denver. So for me, I look at that and say, well, is he really the answer there to get things figured out?
Tim, I'm sure many of the things you just said made sense. I will admit to not having paid any attention because I'm completely distracted by the disgrace that is the topic bar on this screen. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Opinions can change, but topic bars are forever. Neek said Darnold. The thing should say Darnold. Why that thing says Tua now, I have no idea whatsoever. I don't know who's responsible
here.
For this. The post-show meeting is going to be long and it's going to be nasty. Because that thing should say Darnold. Neek, you said Darnold.
We care about the truth. And I mean, to Tim's point earlier, how I could be different about injuries is the last question was, who is better now? Dak has proven that he's better now. This question is clearly about projection. Who will replace Tom Brady as far as owning the division? I think it's more likely to project, given the Jets' current situation and given the Josh Allen's skill level and ability level, I think it's more likely, or I would feel more confident and comfortable in projecting Miami and Tua building themselves into something special than I do about Darnold figuring it out with the Jets, or I necessarily do about that defense being able to carry Josh Allen going forward, which is what they've kind of done up until this point.
Here's what I'll say. Darnold is the most talented quarterback the Jets have had in my lifetime. We've ruined a lot of really good players. I think he's too good to ruin. We'll find out. Super quickly, though, if I change the question and just go right across the board the same order, who wins that division this year? Just quickly. Dan Graziano, who you got?
I go with Josh Allen. He's got the best team.
He's got the Buffalo Bills to win the division. Neek, who wins the division?
Bills defense.
Bills defense over the Patriots. Tim Hasselbeck?
The Bills, which is why I think we now have settled on Josh. Everyone but you has now settled on Josh Allen, Rooney.
And I'll say this. Not only do I disagree with all of you, but Hembo, you're coming to the meeting. And even though it's virtual, you're not even coming to the meeting. These are phone-in meetings. There's only three of us sitting in the room. Hembo's calling into the meeting, and I want that topic bar changed between now and the end of the show. Okay, as we continue here, a very busy morning on Get Up, to Jarrett Stidham. Number one, he doesn't have the wealth of experience that Tom has. There's no doubt about that. These are the quotes from Dante Scarnecchia, the former Patriots offensive line coach, talking about Jarrett Stidham, talking about how he doesn't have the wealth of experience that Tom Brady has. And so just super quickly, Dominique Foxworth, if I may just ask you, on Stidham, does that lack of experience wind up being a major factor for him?
I think it becomes a factor. I think Scarnecchia also said that he was going to have some growing pains. I think he is going to have plenty of pains, but I'm not sure that it's going to result in growth. Any confidence that I have in Stidham is mostly confidence that I have in the past organization.
All right, that is the one guy that nobody picked will wind up seeing if he winds up making us all look bad. All right, a reminder, our Friday night family movie tomorrow night, Angels in the Outfield from 1994, Divine Help, turns the last place Angels into winners in hopes of reuniting a family. That's tomorrow night, 8 Eastern on ESPN. As we continue, Jalen Rose will tell us who benefits the most from the time off and if LeBron and the Lakers are in trouble headed to the bubble. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Back with some basketball conversation. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks had the best record in the league when they went on pause, and they are still the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference when play resumes. But the break might have come at a good time for Milwaukee. Giannis had injured his knee against the Lakers back on that Friday night game of March 6th, just the week before they called everything off. And here is the quote from Mike Budenholzer, and it makes a lot of sense. It's a huge advantage for us that Giannis will be completely and totally healthy. So with that thought in mind, let's bring Jalen Rose back in the conversation. Jalen, who benefits the most from all the time off these teams have all had?
I agree with Coach Bud. The Bucks will benefit, obviously, for having my MVP of this year, Giannis, back out on the floor. But overall, there are two teams in each conference that benefit the most. The ones that have multiple people that can dribble, pass, and shoot. In the West, that's the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard has a chance also, like we discussed, Greeny, to win finals MVP for a third straight team. And for the regular season, we're not talking about him in the MVP conversation. Why? Because he was low managing. Guess what? He's going to be fully rested. So is Paul George, who dealt with a lot of injury. And so to have those two guys, plus Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, each of those guys averaging at least 19 points, they're going to be a scary squad when it's time to play basketball.
No question about it. One more I want to ask you. We had a tease that I don't know the answer to, and I can't wait to hear it, but Jalen Rose is going to tell us why the Lakers may have some trouble heading into the bubble. What is that?
The bubble trouble for the Lakers is pieces in one big chess game. Chuck D once said that. He'll be on Jalen and Jacoby this afternoon. They're going to miss Avery Bradley. I was at that game that you just showed where Giannis got hurt. They also played against the Clippers that weekend. And while the Lakers were playing terrific basketball, I looked deeper into the box score. Avery Bradley gave Patrick Beverley all the trouble in the world. You see that play right there, Greeny? He snatched the basketball from him. He did not allow him to get the ball across half court a couple of different possessions. That affected the outcome. The Lakers, we know LeBron, AD are going to be terrific. So is Kyle Kuzma. Quality minutes and shot making from Danny Green. But they don't have that fifth closer solidified just yet, while the Clippers do. They're going to miss Avery Bradley.
Oh, no question about it. We'll see if J.R. Smith is indeed the player who winds up replacing him. Jalen, sit tight. Coming back to you in just a minute here. I want to welcome the audience that's joining us here at the top of the hour. It is 10 o'clock in the morning in the East. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. We're with you for the next 30 minutes. Those of you tuning in expecting to see First Take, it will come along in its entirety a half hour from now. but we have a very busy morning working here, so let's get up and go. The Pro Football Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and Steelers is being canceled. That's the reporting of our Adam Schefter. The game was scheduled for August 6th. It will be the first NFL event to be canceled by the coronavirus pandemic. Elsewhere, Brooks Koepka withdrew from the Travelers Championship yesterday out of an abundance of caution after his caddy tested positive for the coronavirus. Koepka, one of five golfers to withdraw from the tournament, which starts today, and causing the PGA Tour to enact stricter protocols. And back to the NBA, Pacers guard Malcolm Brogdon announced yesterday he has tested positive for the coronavirus. Brogdon said he's feeling well and still planning on joining his teammates in Orlando for the NBA restart. College football, Lane Kiffin of Ole Miss and Mike Leach of Mississippi State are teaming up for a common cause today. School spokesmen say the coaches are expected to testify before the state legislature to ask for the removal of the Confederate battle flag emblem from the state flag. 1 month today, that's how long it has been since the death of George Floyd. And in that time, we have seen a very different sports world emerge, one where athletes are empowered, not quieted, when speaking out against social injustice, where old tropes of racism in sports are canceled. But just how far has the sports world really come? Ryan Smith has a look.
I'm here for one reason, for my brother's honor. He was murdered.
This is not new.
We have leverage right now. We got to keep pushing forward.
I think it's disgusting.
There is no quick fix to this.
This is an American issue that everybody should take offense.
I was 8 years old when Trayvon Martin was killed. So why am I here at 16 still demanding change?
1 month ago today, George Floyd's death created a palpable sense of horror, of anger, that reverberated through the sports world. Athletes raised their collective voices against the mistreatment of black people to levels not seen in over 50 years. Days after Floyd's death, as protests flared around the world, the Saints' Drew Brees was asked about players kneeling in protest during the national anthem when the NFL season starts and revived an old debate.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
Leading to an about-face the next day.
I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
A cacophony of black voices in the NFL united to demand change from the league.
This is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, National Football League,
believe Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
A video produced by an NFL employee was the catalyst for a chain of events that has reshaped the discussion of race in the league and maybe even the country as a whole.
We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter.
Vestiges of racism, discrimination, and slavery have been toppled.
No one should feel uncomfortable when they come to a NASCAR race. So it starts with Confederate flags. Get them out of here. They have no place for them.
And NASCAR listened with news moments ago that all Confederate flags will be banned from racing venues.
Former Clemson Tigers DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson support was key in removing the name of former U.S. Vice President John C. Calhoun, a known supporter of slavery, from its honors college. UNLV removed the Confederate-themed rebel statue. The SEC issued its own ultimatum.
Greg Sankey threatening that no SEC championships would take place in the state of Mississippi until the state changed its flag.
And the Minnesota Twins took down the statue of former owner Calvin Griffith, who famously made racist remarks about black Americans, as did Washington Redskins former owner George Preston Marshall. His statue was removed on the same day, on Juneteenth. The day synonymous with freedom from slavery is now a company holiday for many teams, the NBA and the NFL, who asked employees to reflect on their past while considering how to work towards a better future. But that better future was seemingly met with attempts to repudiate it.
Late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team.
NASCAR called it a heinous act. The FBI launched an investigation. But amongst Wallace's racing brethren, what ensued was unprecedented.
You know, I love you, man. We all do. Let's go shut these haters up.
NASCAR revealed the FBI's findings, that the rope in Wallace's garage was a door pull rope, positioned there since as early as last fall, well before the 43 team's arrival. But Wallace has his doubts, telling CNN it was a noose. So it wasn't directed at me, but somebody tied a noose. The incident, telling in this America since George Floyd's death, while the voices and actions combating racism and injustice against black people may be stronger than ever, the fight against these ills is far from over.
It's Ryan Smith. As I bring Dominique and Jalen into the conversation, I'm 52 years old, and this has been a month unlike any time I can remember. Jalen, what are your thoughts as you watch what Ryan just put together and sort of reflect on what's happened in our country over the last month?
That was very well done. I appreciate the opportunity and to have this platform to continue to talk about civil liberties and justice and oppression of black people, because so many times when sports is happening, they do become a distraction for us. And they allow us to say things like shut up and dribble or stick to sports or complain about us being woke or having a level of consciousness. So this 30 days, if I wanted to put it in football terms, I grew up playing this electric football game. Pretty sure you remember this, Neek. And you get closer and closer to the goal line, and you get closer and closer. This reminds me of like the 90s. I remember there was like an eruption when Rodney King was tragically killed by the police in Detroit. There was a gentleman named Malice Green that was killed also by the police. And then there was just an uprising of athletes and voices and artists that were really strong about making their voices be heard. But then you know what happened, Greeny? And it's kind of happening right now with Ahmaud Arbery, with Rayshard Brooks, with George Floyd, with Breonna Taylor. They're not necessarily trending topics anymore. The movement continues to start to wane just a little bit for public consumption. That's why it's very important for us to keep that groundswell going, keep these conversations going, keep that enthusiasm going. And we have to ask ourselves, the people that are writing checks, that are writing letters, that are knocking down Confederate statues, that are talking about and supporting the movement, what is going to be the substantial change in power and decision making? Will we continue to have to work two times as hard to get paid half as much? These are the systematic things that are set up that I hope continue to get discussed and we get closer to having the equality that a lot of people are protesting today.
Dominique?
Yeah, I think the Bubba Wallace situation has been kind of eye-opening for me because it's allowed a lot of people to kind of tell on themselves, because what happened there was NASCAR saw a fin in the ocean and yelled shark. We later discovered that maybe it wasn't a shark, maybe not. But somehow some people are mad at NASCAR for that and ignoring the sharks that circled Talladega waving Confederate flags on Monday. And either those people are being naive or are malicious. Honestly, I'm not sure it matters. But in this situation, NASCAR was the good guy. They were trying to be the good guy. And if you have taken this opportunity to yell at the good guy for possibly being overzealous and not aim that anger at the people outside and the people, the actual racist and racist things that are going on, it appears to me that you are working against this. And it's not just trolls that are doing it. It's people who have legitimate platforms and people who listen to. And I think it's a pernicious issue, and it's a problem in part because it puts so much more responsibility on the good guys. It develops and it propagates this misplaced belief that somehow if the good guys are perfect, the bad guys will switch sides. They're not going to switch sides. We need to be aiming our anger and our frustration and our disappointment at them, the people who are on the wrong side, never to be upset with the people who are trying to do the right thing and are maybe overzealous. And if you want to criticize NASCAR and you're using this opportunity to criticize NASCAR, you can criticize them for their overzealous support and frankly complicit nature of allowing these type of people to come to their events and wave flags and be a breeding ground for this type of hate. So I know we're talking about the broad issue here, but I think that just in the past couple of days is something I haven't had an opportunity to talk about. It's just really frustrated me and opened my eyes. And I'll say this last thing to Jalen's point. Right now, the attention and the momentum does feel like it's waning some, but I do still feel like this is a special moment and we should continue to aim for the stars as far as getting things changed. We talked about it some on the Undefeated special that was on last night. You could probably find it on demand somewhere, but I think it's important that we understand that just addressing police brutality is not enough. That doesn't address the major issue. There are several other ballot initiatives that I think are more important than that one necessarily. But in the world of sports, I hope that the athletes keep us looking at this and they don't let us look away, and we can continue to talk about this on this network and in other sports.
Yeah, Stephen A. said it very interestingly here on this show about a week or so ago. He said that what the athletes are able to do is to create this sort of awareness and interest and perhaps public pressure, but then the most important part is to hand it off to people who can actually do something about it, who can actually create the sort of substantive change you guys are talking about. And I do believe, or at least I hope, that we are starting to see the beginnings of that. Guys, well said. Thank you very much for those thoughts. We'll continue in a moment here, and we'll do a lot more. Coming up, he signed his franchise tender, but will Dak play this season? Only two quarterbacks have ever done it. Nick will answer that question and more next. Get up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question. Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is time for Answer the Question. Nick is standing by. I have a series of hard-hitting, probing questions, and he has no choice but to answer them. And it starts with this. Nick, Mike Tyson released a new workout video this week. How much money would I have to give you to step into a ring with Tyson in his prime?
I mean, there isn't an amount of money because it's really hard to spend money when you're incapacitated. I'm good on that. I played in the NFL. I made a good amount of money, and I've been smart with my money. I'm not trying to risk my life for nothing. We got a nice house. My kids go to good schools. We are good. I want to be able to hold them later in life. And if that happened to me, I wouldn't be able to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and say there is no number. You can keep it. I don't care how many commas you roll out there. I don't want that to happen to my face.
I just want you looking to keep talking so we can keep rolling the video of what Tyson was doing. Okay, let's go to the next one. Adrian Peterson says he wants to play four more years. Will he break Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing record?
I mean, Adrian Peterson is special, and he's already done more than you can expect a running back to do in his career. I think it has to stop at some point. He would have to be getting 1,000-yard seasons for all of the next four seasons, and that's not going to happen. I think Marcus Allen is the highest rusher as a 37-year-old, and he had 550 yards. AP is going to have to double that up for 4 years in a row. And I'm not sure that many teams are going to give him the opportunity, even if he had the physical ability to put together four more 1,000-yard seasons. I'm not sure that any team would give him the opportunity because he's become kind of a fallback plan. That's how he.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.